Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Bobby Portis once more. Why not? Knocks down the three from the right wing. Bobby Portis has the Bucks on his shoulders.
Bucks talk starts now.
It's going to be a tough loss for the Bucks here tonight, undoubtedly. 115-103, our final score. Milwaukee has now lost five consecutive games.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, a tough one tonight for the Bucks, as you heard, 115-103 final. And I think this is one of the games that you circled as a game you would like to have on your upcoming schedule when you knew you'd be playing without Giannis and seeing what waits for you, not only the rest of this week, but the first week of December as well. With those challenges that were out there, I think you look back at this game, you look at the 76ers game, and you certainly put a lot of importance on two games coming up over the weekend and into December, with the Brooklyn Nets coming to town on Saturday, and then your first game in December. It's already going to be December next week against the Washington Wizards. But in the here and now, you got to right the ship, and you're going to have to just find a way to tread water until the big man can come back, because, you know, the last couple of games we made mention to this. It's still very early. A lot of things can change. But there's not a whole lot of separation between those teams 2 through 11, which the Bucks were sitting at 11th in the Eastern Conference. That has started to shift and shape. The Toronto Raptors now have won 8 straight games. The Pistons have won 13 straight games. And you got the Miami Heat, who you will face next, owning a 5-game win streak that we are now starting to see some tears in the Eastern Conference. And unfortunately, at the moment, the Bucks are outside all of those. The tier the Bucks are currently in is the bottom five. You're one of five teams in the Eastern Conference with 10 or more losses, and the other four teams are not the company that you want to keep. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, as this one had a lot of the same notes that the previous four losses have had, and quite frankly, a lot of the 10 losses this season have had. Really some key areas that swing the game each and every time. They weren't quite as problematic in the case of this game. It was a couple of different things that we saw from the Portland Trailblazers, but one of those familiar foes for the Bucks continues to be free throw shooting, especially in the first half of this one tonight. The Blazers were getting to the line. The Bucks were not. And I mentioned this number on the broadcast, but the volume of free throw attempts for this Bucks team since Giannis went down is staggering. And that number continues to plummet. We saw that in the first half tonight, and we did not see it from the Portland Trail Blazers, and specifically from Denny Avdija and Jeremy Grant. That was one of the bigger differences in this game, the hot shooting of the Blazers in the first half. This wasn't a game where the margins that we talked about and the areas that you have to clean up and win if you're the Bucks, this wasn't a game where you were dominated in those areas, save for the free throws. The story in this one was the free throws and was the three-point shooting of the Blazers early. And from that point forward, everything just seemed to compound in the second half of a tough loss. Five straight now for the Bucks, and four straight on the home floor. And your next two matchups are going to be massive challenges, especially with Giannis and Kevin Porter Jr. off the floor. We have been all but told that is going to be the case in one of those games, though the door was left slightly ajar for a return in the second one. We'll get into what Doc Rivers had to say before the game and the details you need to know about the NBA Cup and the final two games in group play that the Bucks have coming up here this week. Again, Wednesday night in Miami against the Heat, and Friday night in New York against the Knicks. Plenty of time to hear from you as well and get your take on this one. Fifth straight loss from the Bucks, fourth straight at home, and now again 8-10 on the season as the offense continues to struggle mightily with Giannis off the floor. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us. More after this on Bucks Talk. 115-103, our final tonight at Fiserv Forum. Fifth straight loss for the Bucks. The Portland Trail Blazers come to town and beat them, and it did so. Look, it's easy to point to, hey, Portland had X amount of players out. I mean, we went through the injury report in pregame. Drew Holiday out with a right calf strain. Shaedon Sharpe also dealing with a right calf strain. Scoot Henderson suffered a torn hamstring just before training camp started. It sounds like he's still about a month, maybe 6 weeks away from return. Matisse Thybulle missed this game. He's got a ligament tear in his thumb. Blake Wesley, they had to lean on for a little bit of extended run earlier in the season. He fractured his right foot. He's out. And, of course, Damian Lillard, which we didn't even get to that yet. Damian Lillard not going to play this season, tearing his left Achilles as a member of the Bucks in the playoffs last season. So, yeah, six players out of this game tonight for the Portland Trail Blazers. But there is a big difference between that group of players out for the Blazers and the group of players that are out for the Bucks. And I do want to also point this out. A lot of times when we talk about players missing the games here for the Bucks, you'll hear Giannis's name only. Kevin Porter Jr. is a very important piece to this team, and I think his importance has grown over the course of the last three or so weeks here. You know, I think a lot of times it's easy to diminish that and just kind of put it out of sight, out of mind, because of the impact that we've seen and the continued growth from Ryan Rollins, that it's easy to say, okay, well, at least Ryan Rollins is playing at that level. And it's true, he is. But for especially these games where you don't have Giannis, this is what the Bucks are running into. And I think Doc talked about it very briefly after the game tonight. You know, the book is out, right? Teams know here's how to attack the Bucks in the short term with no Giannis, with no Kevin Porter Jr. It's Ryan Rollins in terms of your starters. That is your initiator. It's Cole Anthony as the only other guy off the bench. And, you know, Kyle Kuzma can handle the ball. Kyle Kuzma can push things downhill and get going in transition. But Kyle Kuzma is not an initiator, per se. He's not a point guard. Gary Trent Jr. and A.J. Green, you would say the same thing. And this is, unfortunately, what we're running into when the guy that everything is tailored around is not on the floor. You're going to run into some problems, and especially when you don't have arguably your second most important, at least the guy that we thought would be your second most important player coming into the season. You know, if we went back to August, September, and said, who are the two most important players on this team, I think a majority of us would say, you know, I know a majority of us, I know every single one of us would say Giannis, but I think a majority would say Kevin Porter Jr. is the number two guy. Ryan Rollins has changed that, sure. But Kevin Porter Jr. is still one of your three or four most important players. You're playing without half of that right now. And it just puts so much on the plate of Ryan Rollins. And I think what we've seen for these past couple of games is the efficiency just hasn't been there, because he's still asked to do quite a bit defensively. And this team's defense has dropped significantly on the defensive side, right? They've regressed. I don't know how much of that is tied into the offense and vice versa, but you know, we've seen stretches of this team being able to play at a very good defensive level against good to very good competition. And that's why I keep going back to the first five games of the season. It was early. I get that. It's a small sample size. I'm aware. But what the Bucks were able to do in those games against good teams, high-level competition, the New York Knicks, the Golden State Warriors, competitive, and one of those games that, you know, we said, I don't want to go the moral victory route, but especially given what this series looked like last year, you feel really good about what you were able to do to the Cleveland Cavaliers in that first game you played, and even for that matter, this last one, last week. The Toronto Raptors, you beat. They were playing the elite teams and some of the better teams in the Eastern Conference, at least, and winning those games and looking good on both ends of the floor. And then it all just kind of changed. A big part of that change has come in the last week when you're playing without Giannis. But to round out that point, if you got two guys that you can lean on to bring the ball up the floor and to get your offense initiated, you're going to be in trouble. You know, regardless of who the team is, just look around the league. That is not how you're structured and set up for success. And when I say the book is out on the Bucks, and Doc basically making the same comment, look at the last three games, how we've seen teams attack them defensively, right? You pressure the ball, and you put your best perimeter defender on Ryan Rollins and say, we're picking him up the length of the floor. Because this guy has clearly shown something, an ability to score at all three levels on the floor. But also, we just don't think the guys outside of Ryan Rollins can do much without being set up. So if we take him out of the mix, we feel like we have neutralized the Bucks offense. And that is largely what we've seen. So this is the challenge that the Bucks are facing here in the short term, right? And short term because it does sound like it's very close. We'll share what Doc Rivers had to say prior to the game tonight. But weathering the storm and just treading water, it remains very, very important for this team. What you cannot have is a five-game losing streak to all of a sudden turn into nine, right? Eight or nine or ten, where all of a sudden you're right back in the same spot that you were a season ago with that 2-8 start and saying, okay, well, one game at a time. They're actually worse in terms of record than they were a season ago at this time because you had that 2-8 start. You won five straight games and then played 500 until you were able to finally claw and get back above 500. You can't go back down that route where all of a sudden you're dropping 3 and 4 and 5 games below 500 and having to get back to that spot later in the calendar of, okay, now we got to play at a pace where we're winning 65 to 70% of our games just to pull ourselves out of that 7 to 10 mix. You got to tread water and you got to figure out how to win some of these games until Giannis is going to be able to return. And it's not going to be easy for the rest of the week. Miami, New York, and then a back-to-back night two against a team that has struggled this season but is still in their limited wins, has beaten some interesting teams, we'll say, with the Brooklyn Nets, but just night two of a back-to-back, traveling from New York, coming to Milwaukee, it's going to be a challenge for this team. So you're going to have to steal some wins here in the next couple of games to start to right the ship here. 855-616-1620. That is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I mentioned the NBA Cup details here. Two games remain for the Bucks. They are 2-0, the only unbeaten team in their group. But arguably, even with that 2-0 record, they're not in an ideal spot. They're not in the best spot. I think you could make a case compared to those other teams right beneath them in the Miami Heat and the New York Knicks. We'll explain why and take a look at the rest of the East groups coming up next on Bucks Talk. 115-103 final tonight inside of Fiserv Forum. The Blazers beat the Bucks. Five straight losses now for this Bucks team and four straight losses on the home floor. This game, when the schedule was released, presented some intriguing storylines in the sense that Damian Lillard had rejoined the Blazers. We knew he wasn't going to play in this game. I believe he has announced and the team has announced he's not going to play at all this season and he's rehabbing to make his return next year. But the trade that the Blazers made to acquire Drew Holiday and sending Anthony Simons to the Boston Celtics meant it's another one of those games where the Bucks are facing their old point guard. And just, I don't know if irony is the word, but just how unique it is that those two guys were traded for each other. And now they're on the same team, facing the team that pulled off that trade. So we thought we'd see one of those two guys here in Milwaukee for the game, and we did. But it wasn't the one that we thought we would see. Drew, as we mentioned, is out with a calf strain, and it doesn't sound like he's going to return to the floor until at least next week. He's kind of on the same timeline from the sounds of it as Giannis. Dame, though, is here in Milwaukee. And when I walked into the arena, so I get here for a 7 o'clock game, usually around like 3:45-ish, sometime around 4, I walked in, and you'll see the Bucks start to go through their routine at around 4:40, 4:45, and traditionally Giannis has always been the first guy out there. For a while, it was always Giannis and Chris would shoot together, and they'd be your first pair out there. It's changed, obviously, in the past couple of days with no Giannis here. But when I walked in, I was surprised to see players and coaches out there on the floor getting some shots in because, you know, you don't typically see guys out there that early, and if you do, it's going to be your two-way deals and younger guys that are out there going through more intense work-throughs than just shooting drills with coaches. But I looked out and saw some coaching staff out there and a player getting up shots, and it took a second to register of, holy cow, that's Damian Lillard. And I did not expect he would have made the trip going through his rehab, but he was back here. And he looked pretty good working through some things. I know he was not playing at game speed and not going up against defenders, but he looked like the Dame of old. And we saw the tribute video that the Bucks put together for him as well. It seems like, at least in terms of social media chatter, it's been very split on whether or not the Bucks should have done that and how to really welcome Damian Lillard, which struck me as crazy because everyone in this arena, it was unanimous. Cheers for Damian Lillard and acknowledging, look, it didn't work out. I think both parties are aware of that. But Damian Lillard was the utmost professional here. You know, Damian Lillard rushed back from a blood clot and with his leg clearly in a compromised spot, which I think in hindsight led to that Achilles tear. You know, Damian Lillard gave it everything he had here. And it was very brief. It was only 2 years. It didn't result in the results. It didn't yield the results that you hoped or many of us expected to see in this pairing of Giannis and Dame. But I don't fault Damian Lillard individually for that. So it was good to see him back. And I know a lot of people, too, relationships that he still has, catching up with him. You could see the smiles and grinning ear-to-ear Thanasis. He and Giannis both spent some time with Dame prior to the game. Doc said the same. A few other people in the traveling party. I mean, that was the one thing about Damian Lillard here in his time in Milwaukee. Approachable would be the way that I would describe him for every single person he came across, not just players and coaches, everyone in the organization. And Damian Lillard was one of the more approachable guys there was. So there was a lot of very happy people to see him, even if it may have been awkward for Dame or those people, given how things ended here. But it just kind of gets lost in the mix of things that this is Dame's return to Milwaukee because he's not playing and because of the struggles that this Bucks team is currently going through right now. Two big games that I mentioned this week, both on the road. And we knew this at the time when you saw the schedule for the NBA Cup of, that's an interesting schedule here with your first two games both at home and both against the teams you would, I think, quite frankly, expect to beat. And your challenges are the road games. Your more challenging ones, I should say, are the road games. You needed overtime to beat the Hornets. And against who you would say are the better teams in this group. So right now the Bucks are 2-0 in Group C. The Miami Heat are the only other team with two wins in that group. They are 2-1. That one loss was at the hands of the New York Knicks. The Knicks are 1-1. And their one loss was at the hands of the Bulls. Now, the Bulls and Hornets each have two losses. I mentioned this before. In the previous 2 years of the NBA Cup, no team has ever advanced to the knockout rounds, the quarterfinals, with two losses in group play. So you look at the Bulls and Hornets and say, well, with two losses, history tells us you're done. The Nets, Celtics, and Sixers in Group B each have two losses as well. And the Pacers and Wizards each have two losses in Group A. The Raptors are the only team that has already clinched a spot. They have already won Group A. They are 3-0, and they've beaten the Cavs, Hawks, and Wizards. Not only that, they have a plus 53-point differential. So the Raptors are very likely to be the one seed in the knockout rounds here. The Pistons are 2-0. The Magic are 2-0 in Group B. Those two teams play each other on the final night, Friday night. So your big games, on the surface at least, and this depends on what happens in Miami and just how much bigger it gets for the Bucks. But it seems like your big games on Friday night are the Pistons and Magic and the Bucks and the Knicks. Now, I mentioned before, as crazy as it may be to suggest this, because you are the only team that is unbeaten in your group, but you may not have the best odds or one thing, but you may not classify the Bucks as being in the best spot in Group C. And I think the reason is twofold. Number one, obviously no Giannis. We know Doc has all but said he's not playing Wednesday night and strongly suggested he's not playing on Friday. The exact quote from Doc, I believe, was he is going to travel with the team, but they don't expect him to play on Wednesday, and he doubts that he and Kevin Porter Jr. would play on Friday, though added they're both close, and you never know, essentially. I take that as it's a next week thing for both players. I don't know if you would play them Saturday in Brooklyn, or maybe we see one of those guys not in Brooklyn against Brooklyn on Saturday. I'm just not holding my breath that you will see Giannis back or Kevin Porter Jr. back for either of those final two games in the NBA Cup. And why that's interesting is simple. You beat the Hornets by 13 in overtime in your second win, but the wrinkle and the change to this process is the win counts, the point differential in overtime does not in the NBA Cup. So you are still just plus 16 in point differential. Miami is plus 46 right now. That is the second best point differential in the Eastern Conference behind the Toronto Raptors. So if Miami beats you, you have to beat the New York Knicks to set up a scenario where you finish with one loss and then hope Miami loses their final game. Actually, I take that back. Miami, if they beat you, they would win the cup in that scenario, win the group, I should say, because Miami has already played three games. So this Miami game is all the more important. You need to win this game for two reasons. Number one, to set up a scenario where if you don't have Giannis, you could potentially go down the path of making that a win in your in scenario with the New York Knicks, but also the point differential. If it comes down to that, the Bucks are going to be in trouble with that plus 16 and plus 46 for Miami. There are very few scenarios the further into this you go where you split those games and it ends up being a win for the Bucks. Again, you lose to Miami. Well, they lost to the Knicks. So if they're 3-1, you finish 3-1, you got to beat the Knicks, but you're going to have to beat them by a lot of points because you're already 30 points behind the Miami Heat. And in a scenario where you lose to him, it's going to grow even more. So that would seem to set up a three-way tie in a scenario where the Miami Heat win it by way of point differential. Could you be a wild card? Sure. But again, Cleveland is plus 33 right now in point differential. They're behind the Toronto Raptors. The Pistons, if for some reason they don't win their group, they're plus 27. The Magic are plus 20. So you're behind the eight ball there. We've always said, you know, the easiest scenario to plot out here is just win. Win all those games and you're in. And the more you dig into it in these scenarios and the three-way tie, there are very few that line up for the Bucks, even with this 2-0 record. So it does very much feel like the only scenario where the Bucks advance in the knockout round is if they win both of those games against Miami and against New York. And that is a very, very tall task for a team that has now dropped five straight games. And again, it's very likely playing without Giannis in those two games. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talking text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I'll pull up that quote from Doc Rivers prior to the game tonight about the status of Giannis and Kevin Porter Jr. because there was a lot of interesting notes that came from that. So we'll take a look at that, what to expect. And again, the tears that we're starting to see take place here in the Eastern Conference. We'll dig into that next on Bucks Talk. 115-103, our final tonight. The Portland Trail Blazers take down the Bucks for yet another contest here. I believe that's four straight wins that Portland has over the Bucks now. They won both the games last year. They won the game in Portland the year prior. The last time the Bucks beat the Blazers was that big comeback. It may have been 2 years ago to the date here. It was the same time on the calendar. I believe it was the week of Thanksgiving where the Bucks erased, I want to say, a 26-point deficit to win that against the Blazers in Dame's first year here in Milwaukee. But, look, you fell down by 33 tonight, and there was none of that magic in you. A much different scenario when you don't have Giannis on the floor and you don't have some of those secondary creators. Again, I mentioned this before. It's a huge loss, goes without saying, to not have Giannis out there. But it is a big, big loss to not have Kevin Porter Jr. available. And again, a team that is struggling to score the basketball, to not have Taurean Prince, who has proven to be a more than capable three-point shooter, a high-efficiency three-point shooter in his time here in Milwaukee. So it just comes at a very inopportune time. When you look at the games on your schedule, the Lakers, the 76ers, in the challenge that they presented with the return of Paul George, and, you know, not being able to really deploy Ryan Rollins as your defensive guy because he has to carry and initiate your offense. The Pistons absolutely rolling and coming in here and getting healthy and bringing back Jaden Ivey when you are not, and Tobias Harris. And this Blazers team that, you know, was down six players, but when you look up and down that roster, Denny Avdia has been, start to finish, their best player so far this season. A very, very good defensive player, and we talk about initiators and guys that get things rolling. Denny Avdia led the team in assists tonight. Denny Avdia has been the primary creator for the Portland Trail Blazers. Still have Jeremy Grant, you know, who we've seen the ability to score when called upon and have these types of stretches. So there's still some offensive pieces there from the Blazers, and that's just one thing that the Bucks are up against in this absence of Giannis is, sure, you got guys that can score, but they need to be put in the right spot. And again, it was one of the looming questions coming into this season is, what is this team going to look like in the minutes that Giannis is off the floor? We always termed it as minutes that he's off the floor and not the games when he's unavailable, because you can never plan on any type of injury like that. And, you know, it's been repeated ad nauseum, but I think we've really seen this as one of the big takeaways here in these past 3.5 games. In the minutes with Giannis on the floor this season, the Bucks have the number one rated offense in the league. In the minutes he is not on the floor, they are 30th. They have played at a 58-win pace with him on the floor and a 14-win pace off the floor. For context, the worst season most of us can remember and the worst season in Bucks franchise history was a 15-win team Giannis' first year. The pace they have played at in the minutes with him off the floor is worse than that season. That is how stark the difference has been in having your best player and not having him so far this season. So you get the Miami Heat and the New York Knicks on the road, your next two games in the NBA Cup. And again, there aren't great scenarios out there for the Bucks if you don't win both games. Because of the point differential, because of the other teams in other groups that are going to have a better point differential, because of the complicated three-way tie, if you somehow weave yourself into that, there are very few scenarios where the Bucks come out on top. So you're going to have to win both those games if you're going to advance into the quarterfinals and the knockout rounds of the NBA Cup. If they don't, you figure to get a decent amount of rest, because after this week, so again, in Miami on Wednesday, in New York on Friday, home against the Brooklyn Nets on Saturday, and then you're on the road in D.C. against the Wizards on Monday, December 1st, the rest of your games that week, it's an identical scenario, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday week. Wednesday at home against the Pistons. I expect both Giannis and Kevin Porter Jr. will be back for that game. By that game, I should say. Friday at home against the 76ers, and then Saturday in Detroit against the Pistons. So a back-to-back home against the Sixers in Detroit against the Pistons. But if you don't qualify for the knockout rounds, the earliest you would play is the following Thursday, December 11th. So you're going to make up two games. It would either be the 11th or the 12th, and then the 14th or the 15th for your games 81 and 82 of the unscheduled games. But big challenge Friday in Miami against the Heat. I mentioned what Doc had to say specifically and what that could mean for when we could speculate on a return for Giannis and Kevin Porter Jr. We'll get to that quote specifically and wrap up the show next on Bucks Talk. 115-102 final tonight. The Blazers take down the Bucks. It is now five straight losses for the Bucks in a very, very, very tough offense to come by. With Giannis off the floor, we expect that to continue. The Giannis off the floor part Wednesday in Miami against the Heat, who, by the way, got Tyler Hero back, making his season debut tonight after ankle surgery leading into training camp. So Miami's getting healthy. You know, it's two of your last three opponents you're going to be catching in that scenario. Pistons got Jaden Ivey back for the first time since January and to introduce some other players that missed some time. Miami gets Tyler Hero back. It'll be a second game of the season against the Bucks on Wednesday. I mentioned we don't expect Giannis on Wednesday. This was a 1 to 2 week timeline that we were initially given. This is now 1 week that Giannis will have missed. Doc was asked before the game and said, I don't expect them being Giannis and Kevin Porter Jr., I don't expect them to play in Miami or probably not in New York, but maybe. You know, we'll just see where it's at. I do think they're both pretty close, and did add that Giannis will make the trip to Miami. So I know we're going to look at that. I do think they're both pretty close and try to cling to some hope. I'm not saying don't do that. Hope is always a good thing. Very close has had some different meanings these past couple of years with this organization and coaching staff. So that could mean that, hey, Kevin Porter Jr. and Giannis or one of the two is back Friday. It could mean it's still another week or two. Who knows? I still get the sense it's going to be next week once we get into December that both of those players are back on the floor. And then you got a big stretch that we just mentioned with the Pistons and Sixers the following week. Our next game broadcast Wednesday night, the Bucks and the Miami Heat in a group play game of the NBA Cup. 6:30 tip-off, 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you Wednesday night.